Years ago, I had a colleague of mine that turned me on to a particular writer. And for years, he wrote for Sports Illustrated and then made a transition to ESPN. And his name is Rick Riley. Anybody read Rick Riley from time to time? He's got a fabulous last name, so those of you from an older generation, you'll like it. One of his blog spots is called The Life of Riley. How about that? Yeah, that's kind of appropriate, isn't it?
Sure.
Well, Rick Riley is a fabulous writer, and he wrote something. This is years ago, actually approximately 10 years ago. He penned something that caused quite a stir in the community. It was a particular article that was written to a supposed graduating class out of the collegiate ranks in the world of athletics that would be making a transition from the collegiate world to the pros. And so he pretended that he had all this group together in one room, and he wrote this particular article, and I would like for you to listen to it. It says, "Thank you, graduates. Please be seated. It's an honor to address the college athletes who are going into the pros this year. And if I may, I would like to just give a few pieces of advice. Every now and again, turn off your Nintendo, shut off Spectrovision, and open a book. And by the way, if you ever hear yourself saying, they offered me $81 million, that's an insult. Please find a tire iron, go quietly into the room by yourself, and hit yourself repeatedly on your shin. And when you marry, please marry someone who has never heard of you. And now that you've made it, practice twice as long as you did in college. The hardest worker in the NBA was Michael Jordan. That ought to tell you something. If you write a book, please read it before it comes out. And be careful with your money. Write your own checks. None of this power of attorney junk. Get an agent and a lawyer and tell each the other's a crook. Shock the world. Apologize when you screw up. Don't buy a Vanderbilt mansion just because you can. Do you know how many 50-room jock palaces I've been in with two rooms worth of cheesy furniture? Never, ever rip a teammate. Okay, so you didn't grow up with a father, then go be one. Make a difference in the life of one kid who is not your own, and it'll give you more joy than a lifetime shoe contract. Just remember, you will die someday. And stop thumping your chest. The line blocked. The quarterback threw a perfect spiral while getting his head knocked off, and the good receiver drew double coverage. Get over yourself. And give the bodyguard the night off once in a while and wade into the people. Some are really cool. And once a season, please let your offensive guard spike the ball. And see the woman up there in section 595, row W, seat 29? She makes $26,000 a year, paid $22 a ticket for her family, and just plunked down $17 for three Cokes and a drink. Treat her nicely. Without her, you're a 320-pound bouncer with half a PE degree. And go easy on the tattoos. By the time you're 60, that hula girl on your bicep is going to look like Don Knotts. This just in, you can do community service without being sentenced. Try it. Have somebody leak it to the media. There are worse things than people seeing a millionaire painting an old lady's house. Learn the piano. Try another language. It's hard for you to believe now, but someday people are going to get sick of hearing about the cross-court forehand that beats Sampras. And once a year, take your free tickets, walk through the stands in your uniform, go outside the ballpark and give them to the kids hanging on the fence. This is the career you pick. If you can't handle public scrutiny or deal with strangers graciously, then for heaven's sakes, become a taxidermist. Read everything written about you, good or bad, and then forget about it. No matter what you do, half the people will worship you and half will detest you. You can't fight it. Help your opponent up. He'll probably be your teammate next year. No offense, but when you're setting off the airport metal detector from the back of the line, you might have on too much jewelry. For the next 10 years or so, you'll travel the world first class. Laugh yourself sore on the team bus and get paid half of Zurich. So let's not hear a lot of whining, okay? So what if your endorsement deal fell through? Just start another telethon. And one last thing. Remember when you were a kid? All you dreamed of was playing center field for the New York Yankees. Soon you'll be there. And when you walk out onto the field, don't forget the tingle. I read that years ago and was reminded of it recently. And I started scouring the internet and I was reading about Rick Riley. And I stumbled across an interview that he had given right after he wrote that article. Listen close. In an interview of why he wrote it, this is what Riley said. I wrote it because we live in a culture of self-exaltation. And that kingdom has proven itself a failure. That's why he wrote it. You see, I think Mr. Riley is correct. But this culture of self-exaltation is not just in the professional athletic world, is it? Self-exaltation is the heartbeat of the kingdom of this world. It's everywhere. People lie in the workplace in order to look good. People pursue accolades in order to validate themselves. People degrade other people in order to demonstrate dominance. People cheat to get ahead. People disregard concerns of others in order to advance their agenda. Networking is for the sake of manipulation, not for the sake of relationships. It's what we see on the news. It's what we read on the web. I turn the page from one thing to the next, and I hear of one new scandal of deceit and deception after another, of people trying to get ahead. Have you been watching just this week alone in the aftermath of Hurricane Sandy? Have you been seeing all of the waves of deceit? The government had to send out a national report because there were over 1,000 websites that were launched in order to dupe people, supposedly in the name of goodwill. They interviewed one individual that was busted in that ring, and he used these words. I did it because it was good for the bottom line. I think we would agree that the picture of the kingdom of this dark world is very painful. Make no doubt about it, friends. There is a kingdom of this world. It is dark. It is perverted. It is about self-exaltation. And since humanity's fall in Genesis chapter 3, it has been the dominant world system. Wouldn't you agree with me? Yeah. And then a man by the name of Jesus Christ shows up on the scene. And Jesus says that the subjects of his kingdom, those who are part of his rule, need to have his heartbeat. Jesus comes along and he dumps upside down the world's self-exaltation. And through his words and his works, he calls the subjects of his kingdom into a different pattern. What does Jesus want to see? What does Jesus want to see from those who are part of his kingdom? What does Jesus want to see from those who are part of His kingdom. One word. Humility. Humility.